So a very good morning to you. Looking forward to chatting with you about a number of things. 8 o'clock we'll do Trump and that new book. Before that, we'll do about the sale of electric cars, diesel cars, and whether how much difference that makes to the environment. It seems to be proved, but we'll talk about the numbers. Sales for last year and expected sales for this year coming up. And that charge expected on John, well, he has been charged in relation to child pornography, one of James Bulger's killers, John Venables. So that's this. I'll take you through the front pages of the newspapers this Saturday morning on LBC as well. But first, we're going to be talking about the serial sex attacker, John Warboy. He's been in prison for 8 years. He was convicted of 19 offences, including rape and 5 sexual assaults. He drugged his victims in the back of his black cab. The police think that the true number of victims is over 100. Some estimates over 200. I mean, it's a frightening roll of offending. The police were angry, to say the least, at the indefinite sentence he was given, with a minimum of 8 years to be served. And 10 years is, in effect, what he has served, 2 years on remand before that. Now, Baroness Scotland, the then Labour Attorney General, decided not to refer the sentence, the 8-year IPP sentence, to the appeal court, despite representations from women's rights campaigners. And Warboys went before the parole board recently, we think in November, and convinced them, and I quote here, that it is no longer necessary for the protection of the public that he remain in custody. I mean, there are so many questions that come out of this. One of them is just how much confidence can you have in the criminal justice system when a man like this can be walking our streets? Now, I know that when he does come out sometime in the next few weeks, he is going to be under stringent conditions. He's going to be in accommodation, parole accommodation, as he makes the transition, I suppose, back to normal society. I don't know how long that lasts for, but he's under a nighttime curfew as well. So he's going to be released within weeks and be in this probation hospital. And naturally, there's been complete and utter outrage, not only about being released after 10 years, in effect, for what he's done, because, frankly, the courts can only sentence on what he was convicted of. But it was the treatment of these poor women who have survived these attacks and who weren't told that he was on his way out. They had a right to be told, and they should have been told. Now, there have been apologies made by Nick Hardwick, chair of the parole board, for that. But what about the fact that, you know, why didn't the DPP at the time, Sir Keir Starmer, bring further prosecutions or pursue allegations after his original conviction? 19 women came forward. Did police supply new evidence or not? Why didn't Lady Scotland challenge the length of sentence in the first place? That must have helped his comparatively early release from prison. So a number of questions, and all of it, doesn't it, erodes your trust in the justice system, seeing cases like this one. Or have we overreacted? But shouldn't justice be seen to be done? What were the reasons that the parole board let this man out? Let's talk about this now with Bob Neil, chair of the Justice Select Committee, Conservative Member of Parliament for Bromley and Chislehurst. Bob Neil, very good morning to you. Thanks for being with us on LBC. You try to set out some facts on this case, but it comes down largely to emotion as well, doesn't it? And what it feels like to members of the public. It feels like he's out too early.
Well, it is a very sort of emotional type of case, isn't it? The offences are horrific. And, you know, you can understand why people feel as they do. I mean, to be honest with you, Andrew, I was surprised at the decision. I won't say more than that. I don't have all the material that the parole board had, but it is surprising, frankly. The problem, as you rightly say, is that we don't have... the parole board at the moment isn't able to give reasons for its decisions. And I think that's a real problem. It's that lack of transparency which rightly concerns people.
Now, you've called Nick Hardwick, the chair of the parole board, in front of your Justice Select Committee. I believe we've just lost you just at the moment, Bob, but as I understand it, we'll just re-establish that line. You've called Professor Nick Hardwick, the chair of the parole board, before your Justice Committee, and one of the questions that is going to be put to him is to explain the decision to let Warboys out. I think we're still having some trouble with the line there. Bob, can you hear me now?
Yes, fine. Oh, Andrew. Yeah, don't worry.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think that you're right. The key point is that it's the lack of transparency in the system, I think, that's the real problem.
Yeah. Is that going to change when you put him in front, Nick Hardwick, in front of your Justice Select Committee? Is that going to be next week, by the way?
It won't be next week because we have to schedule these things a bit in advance. And, of course, we have to formally to write and invite him. But I hope it'll be pretty soon.
Yeah.
And if you like, the underlying problems aren't ones that's going to change over the next few weeks. I think, ironically, Nick Hardwick is a reformer in all of this. He was brought in, having been a very successful chief inspector of prisons, largely to shake up the parole board. And I think simply what's happened is that the underlying problems have come to light quite early on.
Yes. No, I understand. He sat opposite me in this very studio and has been very frank about those changes. But people do want answers. The public are not terribly patient with these things, and they want to know why a man like Warboys is going to be to gain his freedom. Are you going to be able to get answers to that question, Bob?
Well, I hope so. It's not purely about an individual case. I'm always a little bit cautious, Andrew, not because I don't understand the strength of feeling about this. None of us have the material that the parole board had. You've rightly highlighted, actually, in the introduction, some of the measures that he may well have gone through. But the problem is, at the moment, the rules don't permit the parole board to say what has happened, which might give the public some reassurance. So that's something I think that does need to change. And in the interim, I'm sure we're going to be speaking to ministers as well.
Is it possible that the 19 cases that where allegations were not pursued after the original conviction, is it possible that Warboys can be charged now if there was sufficient evidence?
Well, there's not a time limit on offences of this kind. So, yes, in principle, that's perfectly possible. But the key thing there is whether or not the evidence will, A, be sufficient, and we're talking about what's admissible evidence, so it's something which meets the rules to be presented in court. If it's there, then probably it would be much, much better if he had been charged at the beginning. It does tie the hands both of the parole board and indeed of the original judge who was passing the sentence.
Do you expect this case to be reopened? Do you expect Warboys, the cases, to be reopened?
I think it's very difficult to speculate, and probably politicians shouldn't say what investigating authorities should do. I've no doubt people will want to look very carefully at it. The problem is, of course, the longer it goes on, the longer time has passed. We're thinking back over 9 years ago now, aren't we? The harder it is to make sure that the evidence stacks up, if you like, for want of a better phrase. It certainly needs looking at.
Okay, and what do you say to victims who look at the criminal justice system now and the fact that some of them were let down, didn't even know that he was coming out?
Yeah.
What do you say to people now when they see something like this? Because, you know, the public have made their mind up on this one, and I think we can both understand why. And we think it's too lenient. We don't like it. And you know, what do you say to members of the public as they have their confidence in the justice system eroded? Can you offer words of reassurance or not?
I think what you can say is that there clearly is a real desire to change things here. As you rightly say, I think Nick Hardwick wants to shake up his end of the system. Funnily enough, the parole board weren't the people responsible for this appalling error of not notifying the victims. And that's actually done by the National Probation Service. But I think Nick Hardwick decently took a hit and apologised for the whole of the system.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's no reassurance. That's no comfort to the victims. But I do think there'll be changes there. I think the other thing, which is a technical point, but important, is that this was one of these IPP sentences, indeterminate sentences for public protection, which have since been abolished by Parliament because they didn't work. So you wouldn't get this situation exactly the same way. Had he come up nowadays, he'd be sentenced to what they call a determinate sentence, you know, a very specific term, and I suspect it would have been a very long one. Had that been the case now, then that's cold comfort for the people that suffered. There is, I hope, a reassurance that those of us who have to make the law in these things do make changes.
Yes.
When it's brought to our attention that there are real flaws in the system, and
Bob,
that's
Bob Neil, I must leave you there. Thank you very much for being with us on LBC, Chair of the Justice Select Committee, Conservative Member of Parliament for Bromley and Chislehurst. Turning now to Juliette Grayson, co-founder and chair of Stop So. It's a specialist treatment organisation for the prevention of sexual offending and also UKCP registered psychotherapist. Juliette, thank you for joining us this morning on LBC. As Bob Neil was just saying, War Boys had an IPP sentence. Under IPP sentences, people are supposed to get treatment for whatever problem is identified. How much treatment have you been able to understand that War Boys got in this case, if that's a fair question? Good morning to you.
Good morning. I have no idea how much treatment War Boys got, but what I do know is that a lot of people who contact us, because what Stop So offers is therapy in the community to anyone who feels at risk of committing a sexual offence or who already has done so.
So people come to you if they feel they have a problem?
1,200 people last year came and asked for help not to commit sexual offences.
Wow.
It's extraordinary.
It is extraordinary what's out there walking the streets with you as well. People feel very threatened by numbers like that, Juliette.
Yes, but on the other hand, just think how wonderful it is that people are waking up to the fact that what they're thinking or doing is not right, and they're actively, proactively saying to someone, please, can you help me not to do this? I think that's really wonderful that the tide is turning and that people are realising there's somewhere that they can come to get the kind of help that they need, which will stop them being a predator.
How confident can we all be, Juliette Grayson, that War Boys, who's gone before the parole board and convinced them that he's no longer a threat to the public, how confident can we be conned them?
What I hear from people who've been in prison is actually it's very hard to access the kind of support and help that's needed. And a lot of people who go to prison, if you go to prison for less than a year, and obviously this isn't War Boys' case, but if you go to prison for less than a year, then you don't get any treatment. So I've no idea in War Boys' case how much treatment he's had. And what we're doing at Stop So is we're really helping people who want to stop. And of course, there's a group of these people who don't want to stop. And I don't know which group War Boys would fit into. I mean, if he wants to contact us and get some support and help, having come out of prison, Stop So would be willing to see him and work with him.
Mm. On the rehabilitation front, quite frankly and starkly, is it possible to rehabilitate somebody who has raped and committed sexual offences?
Yes. Again, it depends. It's a bit like an alcoholic. Some people will always be alcoholic and always, drinking alcoholics. And other people have that tendency and that temptation, but they manage to resist it. And it's the same with sexual offences, that some people won't change and some people will change. And what we're doing at Stop So is really focusing on the ones who want to change and are willing to change. And we offer them therapy. We've got over 200 therapists across the UK sitting, waiting, ready to see people who feel that they're at risk of committing a sexual offence. So if there's anyone listening to this who knows someone or who feels themselves that they could do with some help, then contact Stop. So if you look up, if they Google sex offender help, we'll come up pretty much first. Or if our website is www.stopso. You could think of it as Stop Sex Offending.
Got you. All right. Well, thank you.
.org.uk.
We've got it. Thank you very much indeed for that and your contribution, Juliette Grayson. Before that, Bob Neil.